being a composer really enhances your work as a conductor in that you're used to imagining music into being, so to speak. And that's what you have to do as a conductor as well, that you must be able to imagine that sound. Even as an instrumental performer, as a pianist, say, it's critical that you're always imagining sound and not simply placing your fingers on the keyboard. And so I guess imagination is sort of the connecting link between those things, and they all come back to it.
I also wonder if one is simply approaching the music as a text that one plays, it's different from when you're thinking of it as choices that somebody made, why these notes are in this place, where the emphasis really is, where things are going, entering into the creative process of the piece. Is that?
Yeah. And there's so many ways things interconnect. Say if you're playing Handel's Messiah and you've been performing as a keyboardist, as a harpsichordist, and playing the figured bass, it gives you a little bit more of a sense of how the harmonies work in a Baroque piece. And there's always that understanding which can really inform your sense of the structure of that piece. And so, yeah, there's just always this give and take between the performing and the composing and the creativity.
I know that a lot of Baroque keyboard playing, that harpsichord plunking in the background, is actually giving some guidance to all the musicians about the harmony and the rhythm, and often is improvised.
Exactly, because the figured bass is just, you have your bass line, and it's rather like a chord chart in jazz. Your right hand is all made up, and your left hand is given. And so as a Baroque harpsichordist, you get used to that you're always having to make music up. Yeah.
Well, that brings me to the first composition of yours that I have queued up here. It's a piece, most of your compositions, there's that opera Rheingold you wrote for Taipei, there are a number of choral works, but this one involves a chorus and an improvised part. It's called Amara, Breath of Grace. Could you tell us about it?
This was originally written for a really amazing group, Room Full of Teeth. And they premiered the piece. Yeah. I improvised this piece on the piano originally with Mark Laver, my colleague at Grinnell, a wonderful jazz saxophonist. And so we have these rather simple harmonies on the piano, and which invited Mark, I think, to really generate some really beautiful and interesting improvisations. And then later, other saxophonists have taken up this piece and have made their own improvisations, now taking that original as a sort of springboard. So it's interesting to see it gradually sort of morph as different people take it on.
And Amara, it's a word from Igbo, which is a West African language spoken by tens of millions of people. And how did you choose that word as the basis?
It's a bit of an unusual, there's one sort of little unusual aspect of that piece is that I asked the performers in between the phrases, when they breathe, to breathe in a sense of grace. Because the poem is, because Amara means grace. And so I wanted the piece to be sort of to offer some comfort or to actually be a help to the performers. And so that's where the idea of grace comes in. And a friend of mine from Nigeria gave us that word as a useful title. It's a beautiful word, I think.